We are on this series called Faith Community, and I'm kind of wrapping up a really short two-week series today. Pastor Sean shared this last week. This is actually Pastor Tim's last series that he kind of designed with us, right? So we discussed about it a few months back, and on the week that he passed away, just a few days before that, he actually called me. Our comms team is like, hey, give us the brief. So he called me and downloaded all his thoughts, and I helped him put into a brief. So that's the last time I heard his voice. But I think it's so fitting that in his last series, he shared or he designed something that he truly cared about, which is the church. One of the reasons we decided to embark on a series about community is because we really live in a world of customization. I brought my wife for ramen last Friday. Wow, they gave us a paper and then so many things to take. The noodle texture, the broth, still got green onion or white onion, all sorts of things to customize. We were in Korea for a holiday, went to the Nike store, huge line, went to have a look. They are not buying clothes. People are lining up so they can design their own clothes. And sometimes this thinking of customization, it also translates to how we view community. I have led and be part of and left just many life groups, 15, 20, 25 life groups easily. Everyone thinks of community differently. Some want it to be deep and engaging. Some want it to be fun and adventurous. Some want to meet or hang out every day, some want space, so all sorts of preferences. And sometimes it's this mismatch of expectation that can lead to disappointment, lead to hurt, lead to broken relationships. And we thought, what if we put all our preferences aside just for a moment and we dive deep into Scripture to once again rediscover how God has designed community to be. How would that look like? And that's what we are trying to do in this series. Okay, so let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you have created community. Every one of us, we have tasted the greatness of community. And Lord, help us to put our preferences at the door today. Not that it doesn't matter, but before our preferences kick in, we first want to know what you think about community. Help us love what you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My topic today is about the global faith community. Last week we talked about the local community. Pastor Sean shared how a local community is meant to be scriptural, diving deep into the Word. It's meant to be spiritual, signs and wonders and praise and worship. It's meant to be relational. We love each other, we serve each other, we care for one another. And it's meant to be missional. It's not meant to be an exclusive group and we live happily ever after, but it's so good that we want to invite people into our midst. I think my job is a bit more difficult than his, so he should have given me the easy job, but I think the global faith community as a topic is a bit more difficult because that's not how we usually think. Right, we see the people around us and we don't think of people thousands of miles away. The first question that comes to our mind is really, why global? Some of us are introverts. We can barely engage the five friends that we have. So why do I want to relate to people who are so far away? Some of us are thinking about the context. Everyone has a different economic, political, social context. It's so different. If we relate from someone from a different country, how will it be relevant to us? Or for some of us, we are thinking, we are not even that advanced or developed. How can we even contribute globally? Fair questions, fair questions. Fortunately, why global? We are not the first people that had to ask this question. And I want to go back and bring us back to the early church. Pastor Sean shared a picture last week, right? How they were so loving and, you know, so inclusive, worshiping together, fellowship together. I want to go back to that time and see what were the questions that they have when the church started to go global. The interesting thing, the image that Pastor Sean painted last week, it actually didn't last for very long, right? They were happy. We thought they're happily ever after. It did not happen. As the church grew, they started to receive a lot of attention and scrutiny from the Jewish religious leaders. Why? It's not that they were malicious or what. See, we got to understand, for the longest of time, the Jews, they had a long relationship with idolatry. So they would turn to other gods, their culture would be corrupted, God would rebuke them, they would lose their land, they would repent, and then God would redeem them, they would get complacent, and then they would turn to other gods again. So it's a non-stop cycle over and over again. So when this Jewish leader saw the early church worshiping this Jesus, in their mind, oh, it's idolatry again. And they started persecuting the early church, mistreating them, pressuring them. And the pinnacle of this treatment was really the martyrdom of a leader called Stephen. And we see this in Acts 11. It says, because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, Stephen was stoned to death. The early church scattered. That's when they started going global. Went to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and a very important city called Antioch. Antioch is, I think, the third or fourth most important cities in the olden days. It was a trade, part of a trade route where it became such a melting pot where just different cultures intersect. So you go to the market, you see various food and fruits being sold, you see people in different kinds of dressing. It's that kind of a city. So it's not surprising that some of the Jews end up there as well. And we see in verse 20, a very significant thing happened where we see the gospel actually crossing cultural lines and going global. It says here, they started speaking to the Hellenists. Hellenists, these are people who are ethnically Jew, but culturally Greek. It's like many of us. I'm ethnically Chinese, but I'm not culturally Chinese, right? I'm culturally Malaysian. So they were ethnically Jews and culturally Greek. And we see the gospel breaking these lines eventually to the non-Jews as well. So the early church, they saw this happening and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. This is later he brought the Apostle Paul along as well. Okay, so here's where we kickstart the story. What is going on here is really unprecedented. Just as everything unprecedented, it's exciting, but it also raises serious concerns. Once again, the hardline Jews, they are looking back to the past, and they are thinking, every time our culture, we're getting it mixed up with other cultures, our culture is being corrupted. Pagan practices come into our culture. So they were very concerned that the same thing is happening. And the major debate of the time is really, can the non-Jews be allowed to be part of our faith community? And if they want to be part of our community, shouldn't they also share in our cultural practices as well? Our festivals, our laws, our dietary requirements? And there's nothing that captures the spirit of this debate better than the act of circumcision. Circumcision to the Jews is a very important thing. It's a physical sign that marks our covenant with God. So we see here, this I think is about 7-8 years later in this debate. It's still ongoing. Some men came down from Judea and were teaching the church members in Antioch, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. So Paul and Barnabas, the leaders, they had a debate with them. They argued. When it couldn't come to a resolution, we see here Paul and Barnabas and some of the others, they were appointed to go to Jerusalem to talk about this matter. This is with people like Peter and John and James and so on and so forth. So the apostles and elders gathered together to consider this matter. It's so interesting, and we realized this as we were developing this series, that the four things that they considered were the same four things that Pastor Sean spoke about last week. The scriptural, the relational, the spiritual, and the missional. All of us in our tough life or business decisions, we know that is when our values are tested, right? And here is the same values, but they are being tested. And we see them considering these four values. Verse 12, the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. It's the spiritual. They're considering the spiritual aspect. They wanted to see whether the Spirit of God was with these people, right? Verse 15, this is James standing up. What did he do? He considered the scriptural. He went back to the prophets. This is quoted from Amos. And he says, after this I'll return, I'll rebuild the tent of David that has fallen, rebuild its ruins, I'll restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles. They considered the issue scripturally. What else? Verse 19, they considered it relationally. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not make it difficult. We should not trouble the Gentiles who want to turn to God. We should love them. We should make it easy for them. But he also says, let us also tell the Gentiles there are certain practices that are very important to the Jews, and we want them to keep it. Not that these practices can save, but it is the Gentiles' way of loving the Jews. So they are considering this issue, how the Jews can love the Gentiles and how the Gentiles can love the Jews. Lastly, they consider the issue missionally. They didn't say, okay, from now onwards, we made a decision. The Gentiles, they do not need to be circumcised. They didn't stop there. What did they do? They sent workers, Judas called Barnabas and Silas, together with Barnabas and Paul, back to Antioch to help out and continue the work. The same four values. And some of you are wondering, how come you're speaking the same thing as last week? Because it's the same values. But this going global forced them to think and reflect deeper. How are they going to apply and live out these truths? So back to my question, why global? This is my proposal to you. The global community informs, enhances, and illuminates what it means to relate to one another as part of God's family. It's one thing to say, I can memorize scripture. I know one day God is going to reach the Gentiles. It's another thing to see a Gentile standing in front of you and say, hey, I gotta reach him. It's one thing to relate and love and enjoy people who are in a similar background. It's another thing to relate and love someone who is very different, whose practices may even offend you. That's another level. It's great to worship with people of the same language, but it's something else, worshiping with someone from a different culture. I don't know if you remember, a few months back, there was a group of Chinese missionaries. They came, I was preaching that day, sitting in the front. So four or five of them came and sit in the reserve seat. And usually nobody dares to sit in the reserve seat, right? So they came, I know they were guests. I tried to speak to them. They couldn't understand a single word. I know a bit of Chinese, so I started changing to Mandarin. I found it from China, not part of every nation, just visiting. Couldn't understand a single word of English. The worship started, and they started dancing right in front here. So amazed, couldn't understand the language in a foreign place, but the freeness in which they worship God is more than any one of us. And that's what happens when you worship with someone from a different background. missional. It's amazing that all of us are trying to reach our friends and families. But it's another thing. If we take our resources, travel thousands of kilometers away, and speak to people who we don't even know, we didn't even know they existed before that, that challenges us to relate to others just like how God would have wanted. The good thing about every nation is that we don't have to go very far to get a taste of it. We are part of a global movement. I think about in about 100 countries, 500 over churches, and that just allows us to get a taste of the global family. I'm going to play a video. It's the history of every nation and our 30th anniversary. I want you to enjoy that, and then I'll come back to share some personal stories, okay? Let's play the video.
Here's who we are, here's what we stand for, and we're gonna go plant churches, we're gonna win students, and we're gonna take nations.
I didn't expect anyone to be interested or even want to join what we were doing. That was never the point. The point was to expand to new areas together. It's the compassion for the lost of the world that pulled us together and that pushes us forward to the vision, to the mission God's called us to.
Everything we did from a ministry standpoint flowed out of reaching the campus and changing the world.
They came to my campus. I have never met a Christian, never seen a Bible, even know the word God. I got saved and I got baptized the same year. And witness so many miracles.
So many miracles, I lost count of my list. I know stories, I can tell some stories of wonders you have done.
We exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation.
Jesus says to us, go and preach the gospel to all the world.
We believe that not only our nation should be reached, but missionaries would also take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world.
We're believing by reaching out to the 9 universities in the city of Hong Kong, we can advance the kingdom of God.
We are not afraid of what we are facing, and we keep preaching and speaking about the name of Jesus.
When we say every nation, every campus, it is personal, so personal that we give our lives to it.
Our passion is to create music that matters, not only to our local churches, but to us as a global movement.
We have a message of hope that the world needs in this time, and we cannot be ashamed of this gospel.
If we want to see the gospel reach the ends of the earth, we must trust God to plant more churches and more campus ministries in every nation.
I believe we will look back, the impact it will make will go to communities and campuses and nations of the world.
It is so valuable to get to be learning from and amongst our global family from different nations.
Because of its strategic location, Panama is a great place to reach out to the whole Central American region.
It's funny how fast life goes. We were the young ones back then, or we were the ones that had the mantle to lead, but now we watch as God's broadening that mantle and bringing new people in.
We honor what's gone before us. We appreciate what's gone before us. But we also look forward to the future with bright eyes.
For the next 30 years and even 100 years from now, we're going to continue to change the campus, change the world.
Isn't it amazing? Man, I wish I could baptize someone in the sea. Some of you got a taste of our global family when the global pastors came over, you know, a month back. My experience of the global family started about 10 years ago when I was invited to a regional conference. But that time, we are very shy, you know, we don't know anyone, we're paisei. We go there to eat more than we fellowship. We say hi here and there. But really, about 2 years back, Pastor Tim decided to send me to Every Nation Seminary. In my cohort, there are pastors from 18 nations. Okay, so these are some of them. The picture up there, that's my preaching coach. So if I don't do a good job, don't worry. There are a lot of people telling me that I don't do a good job, right? So every year, he evaluates four of my sermons. He tells me what I do well, what I can improve. And I realize there's just certain truths, because of my background, I can see clearly, and certain truths that I can't. And I need someone to help me, right? The picture down there, these are some of my good friends in seminary. That's Pastor Dave from Manila and Pastor Vicky from Singapore. You know, as a pastor, it's not the easiest to find community unless you're like Pastor Stephen, so friendly. sometimes certain things we're not able to share. And I'm so blessed to have young pastors to do life with. These are some of my classmates, and I just learn different things spiritually, relationally from every one of them. This guy here, his name is Pastor Andy from the United States. And you know, people from the U.S., they are very vocal, they are very smart. So when we started our class, all the people from U.S., they started talking, asking questions. And all the Asians keep quiet, right? Like Malaysians, definitely, we won't ask any question. So we were talking and he was asking me, hey, how come you got no thoughts? And I told him, just from where we are at, we naturally feel intimidated, we feel inferior, just because you're Americans. That's just how it is. And from that on, every single day, he refused to speak until an Asian speaks and say, you go first, Eugene, you are not speaking, you have to speak. I want to hear from you before I speak. What an act of preferring one another. This guy here beside me, his name is Pastor Harry. He's a senior missionary in Central Africa. And he's telling stories, 30 years in the field. He will walk into a village and there'll be a witch doctor challenging him. You step into my village, I'll kill your whole family. And their faith to minister in these kinds of environment. You saw the video just now about Uganda. He's my senior, his name is Ronnie. 30 plus, probably about my age, mid-30s. Their whole generation was wiped out because of HIV. So he is, at 30 plus, the senior of the church. I cannot imagine, at my age, I need to be the senior. There's a guy from Spain called Mel. For years, they raised a building fund to build a building. They had one service there. Second service, the whole building got burned down. And they had to restart from scratch. That kind of faith. And every one of them, there's a story that recharges me and encourages me. But I want to end with a missional work that was done, a collaborative effort by four different churches. It all started in a class taught by this guy. His name is Dr. Keith Tower. He's really like a tower, 7 feet tall, and an actual NBA player, okay? So yes, I met my first NBA player. He played with Shaquille O'Neal during the Orlando Magic days. But he's a professor, so he's teaching a class about doing new work, okay? So we have an apostolic initiative. This girl here, her name is Chelsea. For about 3 years, she's from the United States in Orlando, and she's trying to minister to a group of islands called the Caribbean Islands. So they're doing some work, 15 students or so, but they could not find a church planter. Okay, so during the class, she started talking to some South African pastors. And they realized in the Caribbean, the majority of the population are actually descendants of African slaves since the day of the African slave trade in the 1700s. And their psyche, their psychology are very similar to Africans. So they thought, hey, what if we collaborate? Maybe a South African pastor or any African pastor would do better than us in reaching the local community. They started doing short-term mission trips, and they started running services once a month. The U.S. was near to the Caribbean. They had the resources. But the South Africans, they had the cultural similarity. And this month itself, a pastor from South Africa is relocating to St. Thomas, one of the islands, to build a church there. What an amazing collaborative effort, missional effort. What about us today? What can we do? Really three things, I think. First, host someone from a different nation. We have so many different nations in our mix. Don't look at them and, hey, they're different from us. Host them, speak to them, ask them about their culture. This morning, some of us had, you know, breakfast with an Indonesian friend. We want to understand how God is trying to work, you know, in their nation. If you don't know anyone, go to Pastor Agape's church in Cyberjaya. There are about 10 different nations over there, right? So host them and just understand how God is working differently. Number two, be a partner of a cross-cultural missionary. Our church here, we have sent out three missionaries, right? Pastor Moses to China, Jocelyn to Japan, and of course now we are supporting Pastor Timothy's son, Joel, as he's doing his mission work in Japan. Now, we are not asking you to be a financial partner. Finance is really not the biggest thing. Being in the field, you can be lonely, away from home, lack of support. Imagine if we text him once a while, ask him how he is. He likes to put his thoughts down. This is his blog. Go to his blog, read his thoughts, read what he's doing, his prayer requests, and just send him prayers. That's all we ask. Lastly, every year we are going to do one or two short-term mission trips, about 10 days. If you're planning on a holiday, maybe you can consider a mission trip, right? It's almost the same, just more fruitful. And you get some free meals. We have one coming up in Kuching. The Japan one is already full. And I want to encourage you. You hear stories that it's just so different. Pastor Balan was sharing, did you know over 50% of the population in Sarawak are actually Christians, but they don't really know God. They go to church, but they don't know if they're saved. Imagine how much of a blessing we can be to them. So if that is something in your heart, please sign up. I want to close with a final thought. And I know this is not an easy message to digest. We don't naturally think global. It's not immediately related to us. But let me give you one last appeal of why we want to think global. This is a scene in the future in the throne room. And it says here, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation. It didn't say there's going to be a Chinese church where the Chinese will gather, a Spanish church with the people from Spain will gather, a Brazilian church and so on, right? Everyone was gathered together, all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. If you are not used to relating global, start now, because that's gonna be our future. And I always tell myself this, if God loves something that I don't, God's not the problem. The thing is not the problem. I am the problem. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for this global community of diversity. We need each other. There are certain things we can see clearer that we can contribute. There are certain things that we cannot see that we need others to help us. So help us enlarge our heart, step out of our comfort zone, and love your global family because you are a global God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.